Brad Molnar, public service commissioner, and his niece Joy. I'll mention that from China. There's a little story kind of going on there. Brad's back in studio. Had a little technical difficulties with a previous interview, so I'm glad to see you. And we got a little bit of a business to kind of take care of. There are some things that is on the plate for the Public Service Commission, and I know you were previously served in the Public Service Commission for two terms and then reelected here most recently.
Right.
Was suspended by the governor for a year for basically the governor called it unprecedented in and of itself too. And you believe the suspension was illegal. It was for conduct unbecoming. It's probably very specific language. So, but why don't you talk about what that is, and then your lawsuit against it?
Well, the statute the governor used is a old statute. Got updated, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, from the wording of appointed to elected. So, we are the only entity in the state, public service commissioners, that the governor can suspend. Anybody else, the legislature has to boot you out, or the courts have to. You would have to actually commit a crime. I'm not even accused of a misdemeanor. And when the governor said unprecedented in his press release, he said that he did that because I'm unprecedented, that if I had done what I'm alleged to have done in a private company, that I would have been suspended. Well, alleged is the operative word. The statute says that he can suspend for good cause. The Supreme Court has ruled that it's not defined anywhere in statute, that good cause means you must have good proof. And he said, I'm going to use the two investigatory reports that were done on Molnar by the PSC for the suspension. Well, the problem with that is the investigatory reports that he had, we offered to get him the unredacted, they're redacted. There's no names. Nobody was examined, cross-examined. There was no evidentiary period. They're just statements.
Which makes it very hard for you to mount any kind of defense.
Well, it's an unknown person said the following, and then that's contradicted by other witnesses in the same report. So he doesn't have any proof. There would have to be a hearing. There would have to be some sort of cross-examination. Matter of fact, the former HR person for the PSC, who was let go 2 days before me, was let go plainly by the wording of the PSC documents for refusing to bring charges against me. And she said, the things you're talking about aren't actionable. You say he danced it in the office. Nobody has said that he did, and he said he didn't. And even if he did, you can't overturn an election based on he did his happy dance.
And that's the difference then between appointed and an elected official?
Well, an elected official, like the governor. So let's say I had a complaint on the governor. Can I go to the attorney general and have him suspended? No. I would have to take him to court based on a crime. Not I didn't like he signed a tax bill. Mm-hmm. This, the way he's interpreting it is that if I did something that he didn't like, then he can suspend me. Well, that means you don't have an independent commission anymore. If you have to watch his press releases to see how to vote to keep your job, you are like the 40 other states in the nation that are appointed, they are not elected, and their utility rates are anywhere from 2 to 3 times higher than they are in Montana, with just a couple of states that are exceptions.
Did the governor question you? Did you have a conversation prior to this decision?
No. Through my attorney, I said, look, I'll sit down and talk with him and then explain what's in the reports from my perspective. We said that you're going to get, you know, you're using a redacted document. We will get the unredacted document unsealed by the federal court and give it to you. And then you can see who said what and how many of these are one person who has an axe to grind. And he said, no, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I got into I'll call it a pushing match with our executive director. I asked a question from a constituent wanting to know why his basic service charges went up from $5 to 20 on every meter. And he's a farmer. He's got a lot of buildings. They all have their own meters. And so I asked her, I said, well, when did this happen, blah, blah, blah. And she said, well, the rate case of that you guys finalized your final vote on November 19th. And I went through the roof and I said, there never was a vote. We authorized staff to draft that and that we would have a public vote on the 19th of December, and we never had one. So that is fiction, and I'm not going to take that as an answer. The next day at 10 o'clock, I was suspended.
And so there's some things that I think would concern people here as well about the authority, and that needs to be straightened out. And I think you raised good questions regarding that. So let's go into this lawsuit a little bit. Where what's the status of it? And since you, do you get more unredacted information? Can you fill in some of those blanks that you're missing right now in discovery in this lawsuit?
No, because the lawsuit is supposed to be, it's getting a little far afield, but it's supposed to be a due process lawsuit. And my attorney, who's really a crackerjack attorney, handles a lot of federal and state issues, Matthew Monforton out of Bozeman. I've known him for years.
He's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's a bulldog.
Yeah.
And what I need is a bulldog, so I'm lucky to have a bulldog. But he's pointed out that from the very beginning, the actions of the PSC and then the investigation and then the PSC voting to affirm their own investigation.
Right.
Commissioner Bukacek filed two of the four complaints from the first investigation, and then she voted to accept those as being accurate and I should be punished. Well, you can't do that. If you're a district judge and you get into a car wreck, you don't then handle the lawsuit based on somebody got hurt. So right there, instead of being a 3-2 vote, it would have been a 2-2 vote, and none of this would happen. So will the judge roll it all the way back? Will he say, go ahead and take it to the Supreme Court. You know, why don't you spend $50,000 more on this? He might say, you need to have a hearing. Well, that's another $50,000. I don't have an income. I'm already
part of the suspension. Year suspension, right. And without pay.
Right. And the prior case law is that once you're elected, you actually have like a contract with the government and they're going to pay you this amount and you got to do these things. And that not only is my position a property right, my wage is a property right. Mm. So for them to take away what they promised to give me for doing my job, and then saying you can't do your job, is a central point in this whole thing. And the question to me is I've known that for like 6 months. How is it the governor and his attorney didn't know that if they do that, we're going to court? Well, if you take away my wage, you don't care because maybe I can't answer in time. So that's actually would be a slap suit if they had filed the suit. I have to file the suit to be able to ask a judge to protect my First Amendment rights and to protect my due process rights. And now I'm fighting to protect democracy, because if the governor can suspend anybody he wants to based on a report with no names in it, then what good is the vote?
And this is where I see this being important. You talked about due process. It's a due process lawsuit. And as I looked at the lawsuit too, that's the thing that stood out as for me important to answer going forward about the authority to suspend an elected official. So I am interested to see how that plays out, so to speak.
Well, and that's part of the thing. I think I sent you something that I signed like a year ago, January 31st, the year before that. They wanted me to sign the internal policy manual. Well, when they amended it, they wanted me to sign it. It said that you're going to follow this. And I said, in public, which really rankled some people, that this takes away all due process rights of everybody in the commission, commissioners, and employees. And I'm not going to sign anything until we amend this. And amend it back, and I said, after the legislature and everybody gets a say on the amendments. And that's on tape. When I accepted the position of president, my little speech was, we are going to follow the Constitution. We're going to protect your rights. Well, I don't care how you voted in the last deal. We're going to protect everybody's constitutional rights. Well, if I were to walk away, or if I lose. This is precedential because it's never happened before. Whether it's the commission or a county commissioner, their due process rights will be gone. We didn't bring a due process right in federal court because there isn't any. The courts have taken that, have stripped that down to where you spend an hour arguing about that and said, wait, what you want to talk about? So this is as much a fight for constitutional rights to be sued because they held a press conference without permission. Are you kidding me?
Well, and that's, you know, and I appreciate that. That's that's an allegation, right? But, you know, that's part of the dynamic here. I don't have enough time, and I want to ask the question about, you know, what have you learned from this? How much is mea culpa, so to speak? You know, I'm the culprit here. And that's one thing I know that we have talked about. So sure. we'll come on back and look at that. Brad Molnar is in studio, public service commissioner here from the state of Montana. And we got Skip on the line. We'll get to that question, too, because there's going to be legislation to do away with the elected public service commission seat. So question of due process confronts us today in the case with Montana Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar and the PSC, but also the governor of Montana, Greg Gianforte, who suspended him on July 9th in office for 1 year without pay. I don't have that written down exactly in front of me, but I believe Brad, and welcome back, everybody. And Brad's in studio here, too. And thanks for coming in. I appreciate that. It was conduct unbecoming, right?
Of a public official. Along those lines, yeah. Unprofessional conduct.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a court case to restore your ability to serve and then overturn these actions as well.
Right,
and that's
right.
That's kind of where, and I appreciate, you know, that explanation too, and where you feel like you've got a strong case in this regard. And I'm looking forward to, like I said, seeing how that plays out, because due process is something that is at a very, very high level of importance in our current system or jurisprudence. So thank you for that. But you know, you hear this, and you and I have talked about it as well. And you've said some things publicly regarding that. You know, what got you in trouble, Brad? And then, you know, how much of it, do you say, you know, mea culpa, which means my fault, so to speak, I'm the culprit.
Mm-hmm. Having read the, investigatory reports, and I read it with that idea is, you know, what could I have done to avoid this? I don't think much of anything. But did I do things that, you know, I regret? Sure. You know, without trying to insult anybody, Sister Teresa would not survive a clandestine investigation where people get to say what they want to say, but they're not held responsible in any way. For example, the one thing that I do regret, they say that I said this in the PSC. Well, I did, but it wasn't at the table, you know, in the conference room. It wasn't even during a meeting. It was a couple of staffers standing around talking. I walked by. They were talking about, they're part of the fun team. You know, we have Taco Tuesdays, and we have, you know, should we have casual dress Fridays? And they were talking about that. And in a moment of, I should have had more candor. I said, how about Topless Tuesdays? Well, they're still I apologized. I said, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. And everybody laughed and I was done. Now it's what they lead with. Mm. They lead with. Okay, so what if I said, well, yeah, but then right after that, Tom Schultz walked in. He heard that and he says, well, how about Whitey Tidy Wednesdays? And you would say, what? And I said it. You can't prove you didn't, and I don't have to prove you did. And so these things just grow. If people have an axe to grind, they're going to grind it because their name is not known.
Well, and there's a lot of things, you know, behind that too. So people do have to watch what they say, especially in public circles like that, because we have everything's very political. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of messaging out there, and then, you know, people are easily offended, but also, you know, we have to have a responsibility to consider their feelings and, you know, not be offensive to them.
Right.
As well.
It says right in the report, they're talking about one person, and I knew this about the person. It took me a while to learn it, is that they are very sensitive. You know, another person actually needed time off because prior to me, two commissioners were arguing so much it just bothered him. Well, if you're talking 45 people, it's going to be soup to nuts as to who's, you know, somebody had something happen in their childhood or they were molested or they've come through alcohol treatment or whatever. People are going to take things differently. But do you overturn an election based on that? That becomes the question. Yeah. The governor has overturned an election. So, for example, all of a sudden, there were no more complaints on me. Well, there were only six in a year. And the majority of them were from one staffer and one commissioner. They had axe to grind just more and more and more. And so when they asked these people, did you ever, this one person that actually needed time off, you know, how do you get along with Molnar? Well, really well. You know, we work together. He comes in here. We talk about stuff. I take care of his issues. Well, has he ever yelled? Well, one time he raised his voice. How do you overturn an election based on I raised my voice about what to who?
Well, I think they can argue, but is it legally codified? You know that there's a pattern that has been established that you know that that precedes you.
Well, here's the pattern. Okay, legislative auditor came into the office, and for like 5-6 months they were in there doing a performance audit, compliance audit, and a fiscal audit. They talked to everybody. Their exit audit was, do you have any problems working here? Are you getting what you need to be advanced? Are you being held back because of your gender? Is anybody bullying you? I mean, they go through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, has anybody taken away your parking space unfairly? The answer came back, zero complaints. At the exact same time, they were wholesale going in on this investigation. But nobody had to, you know, nothing is proven. Nobody has to prove anything. And that's the difference, is the state did an audit. They'd been there for 6 months. People trusted them. And supposedly, one day after Lana Lake became executive director, she started a notebook on me of everything I'd done wrong and found tons of things where nobody else had found anything. And when I read it, a lot of them never happened. Some did. And if I knew who they were, I'd apologize. But I didn't know until 6 weeks after I got booted out of the office by the PSC what I was even charged with because they wouldn't tell me.
And that's to be settled. And so I can appreciate the anxiousness behind that and the importance of that, too. Brad Molnar in studio, public service commissioner, a former state representative as well, House and Senate member. Let's move on. Skip in Hamilton had a question, and I want to ask that too because it relates. You know, and you mentioned it as well. There are 40 states. You say that we have cheaper rates because we have an elected bureau. But you go back and you look at there was an audit and it found waste in the PSC and Jim Brown had to go in and kind of straighten that out when he got elected there. But that was front and center for the Public Service Commission. There was a case there with one of the commissioners as well and his spokesperson and some communication that was, I don't know, I'm going to say crass and rank. And that brought some attention to the PSC unnecessarily. You guys regulate utilities, and now there's a lot of states and there's going to be legislation to make the PSC a non-elected position and make it an appointed position. Mm-hmm. And the legislation mirrors a lot of other states there in terms of trying to make it unbiased in that regards. You know, there are people on the Public Service Commission who will say, well, that's not a necessarily good idea. And that's maybe to be expected. But you say it's, you say it will protect the ratepayers more. Why?
Well, when you're elected and you spend some of your time going around to the Kiwanis Club and talking to people, and your votes are recorded and people are going to look at it. Nobody wants to vote for a rate increase, but you also don't want to go to court and get overturned. So you do your best to be fair to both. And your allegiance is to the people that put you there. And that includes giving the utilities what they need to perform their function properly. And that's never really been an issue in Montana. Since 2004, there's been an effort at the legislative level to turn the commission into appointed during that period. And today, Montana is number 12 in the nation for utility rates, number 12. So you have 38 more that are much higher. Well, we're only 2 cents a kilowatt hour above number one, the lowest in the nation, and that's Utah. So how is it we're not working well when all these data centers, et cetera, want to come here because we have cheap electricity for them? So we are doing the job. But take a look at what happened to me, okay? And this is very, very pointed, okay? When the governor suspended me, he can appoint my replacement. He's not going to pick somebody that's going to vote like I would, okay? The question is data centers. So he will have a commissioner that will vote as he wants him to vote. He has,
but there is a process. There's a commission process, right?
No, there isn't. There is not.
Well, there's no legislation established yet. But they, what's being proposed is more of a commission process. So what doesn't happen, what you're trying to contend is going to happen, and that you just get political appointees, and there's going to be political appointees to a certain degree, but there's a process to vet that.
There is so, not. What they're proposing right now is that the legislature will pick the people and let the governor choose. That will be lobbyists. That's on everything. This is billions of dollars. The governor does not have to accept that. The session can end and he can appoint on his own. That's the way the law currently is. In 40 states that have tried this, in 37 of those 40, they are all double to triple the rates of Montana. The governor has put his DEQ director into being an intervener in the rate case or on the docket of should the people of Montana have to chip in for the generation for data centers. He says so that they will understand the economic impacts of what they're doing and the possibility for growth.
Are you talking about the Energy Task Force?
No. That is heavily weighted strictly on behalf of data centers. They either own them, supply them, or build them. They have all the votes they need for that. That has nothing to do with energy. It has to do with energy for data centers.
I don't know that I agree with that.
That's an
allegation, and I've seen the list. The people that I note on that list, I believe, are fair relatively. I'm just going to say I don't see biases in them. They may advocate for some certain things because they believe, like you do, there's evidence that leads them to those decisions. But
if they work for the company that benefits, they don't need evidence to keep their job, and that is exactly the path they're taking. They have voted unanimously for an appointed commission. Appointed commissioners are what is driving 500 data centers in Virginia. Etc.
500, that's an exaggeration.
No, between large and small, that's what they have there. They have said they're pulling out of it. Iowa said we are reconsidering this. Maryland's mayor race went based on data center, some pushback. Georgia, elected commission. Republicans have won that 60-40 every seat since 2012. Two of them got knocked out, first time ever. Two Democrats, why? Because of the cost to the people of data centers that were being placed on there, and they were elected, but they went with what the lobbyists wanted, and it wasn't sustainable.
Well, as always, you've got receipts. You bring information, so yeah. I appreciate that. And so it's interesting to watch this dynamic play out as well. And we'll be talking about it here as we go further on. Skip had a second part to that. I'm going to try to save some time, take a break now, and that is what's on the plate. For the PSC right now. As this kind of plays out, there's still some very important decisions to be made there in the Public Service Commission. But I also want to talk about your special guest in studio today, when we come on back. So, all right, welcome back. Jim Brown will be in studio tomorrow. As I mentioned, we'll be talking a little bit about the fraud files live, but also he grew up in that Beaverhead County area. Got family there, too, and very trying time for everybody there. So we'll catch up to date on that. Brad Molnar in studio today. And Brad, I know one of the leftover questions is what's on the plate for the PSC. We have time some other time for that. Okay. Certainly it's that Black Hills and Northwestern Energy merger, but that's not the only thing on it too. But you've brought a guest in studio just to be with you today.
Yes, yes.
And who is she?
This is Joy. She's living with my wife and myself. My wife is born and raised in Chengdu, China, and so was Joy. She was there until about 3 years ago. Her family was part of the underground missionary effort that my wife was part of. They were part of the same cell. I got my wife out one step ahead of the gun, and I was there when they discovered her identity, and it was time to run. Joy, on the other hand, her parents, one step ahead of the gun, emigrated to Thailand, and they wanted to be raised and educated in America and to experience freedom, and here she is.
Joy, hi.
Hello.
So this is your first time in America?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, speak into the, Cody will help you. And then, and you're going to school this year?
Yes.
Where are you going to go to school at?
At BCS, holding is Billings Christian School.
Billings Christian School. Now, how excited are you about that? Do you speak English very well?
Yes.
You do okay?
So.
Yeah?
Maybe.
Yeah. And what grade are you going into?
I'm going to grade 9, first year of high school.
First year of high school. What do you like about school?
I didn't know anything about school yet, so I'll just wait until I go to the school, until the school starts.
Did you go to school in Thailand?
Yes.
Yeah, obviously. So what are your favorite subjects?
My favorite subjects in Thailand are like social studies.
All right, very good. Hey, good luck. Welcome to America. And we're hoping the best for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. That's Joy, ninth grader.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Joy, good job.
Yeah.
Was this your first time on the radio?
Yes.
It won't be your last, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you, Brad.
You bet.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.